Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, September the 17th, 2012. And to all our Jewish friends, Lashana Tova. Happy Rosh Hashanah to all of you, the Jewish New Year. The home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming the show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And now there are four locations that will get you to the Buckmaster Show, so you can listen anytime, anywhere. My website, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and our latest edition, the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun, their website, gvnews.com. They have a link to the Buckmaster Show. We are live during the noon hour. We get things rolling on this Monday with the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators John Munger and Vince Rabago. Then 30 minutes past the hour, what's the deal with the modern streetcar? We'll get an update from the RTA. Is it or is it not on schedule? Then our legislative candidate series continues. Ethan Orr will be with us. He is a Republican candidate for state legislature in District 9. That is a four-way race with the top two vote-getters, of course, going on to the state capitol in January. We encourage you to join us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We're also going to be monitoring the Buckmaster Show Facebook page during the program. So if you want to send us an email on Facebook, we'll check that out and get your comment on the air. The Monday Political Face-Off features today commentators John Munger. Mr. Munger, Tucson attorney and former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010. And Vince Rabago is seated to the left of me in studio, Democratic candidate for Arizona attorney general in 2010. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. I was over there on Saturday saying hello to Moe, and business is good for him. He's specializing, and it should be, because this guy is the best in town. Got great custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Yes, Moe does make house calls. He will do all that hanging for you. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at Moe's Gallery .com. Vince and John, how are you gentlemen today?
Good to see you both.
Good to see you.
Kind of a great football weekend, wasn't it, John?
Great football game. Arizona won.
Yeah, big
Stanford big won, beat USC. Anytime you beat USC four times in a row, it's great.
Yeah, Stanford beating them four times in a row, you're right. And I'm just glad to see USC lose, Vince, because that really now puts the Pac-10 very interesting territory.
It does, it does. And I'm looking forward to this Saturday's game. I'm excited about the three wins, and this is going to be the true test of the Cats' medal, and I think it'll determine
Rich Rodriguez
the rest of the
season. Is doing a great job in Arizona.
He really has.
He's been exciting.
Great spirit to the area, and he's a real people person. And whether you liked Dick Tomey or not, Dick was a very people guy like Rich. He gets out there in the community and really supports the kids, which I love to see. Let's talk foreign policy and this situation. Over the weekend, several reports came out, John and Vince, that the Israeli intelligence is saying now that Iran is about 90% of the way to a nuclear weapon. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says that he really wants the Obama administration to draw, as he says, Netanyahu, a red line that Iran cannot cross without inviting military action. Your thoughts. Vince, let's begin with you.
Well, you know, I think these reports are consistent with what we've seen for a while coming out of the international community. You know, they can't tell what is there. There was the International Atomic Energy Agency report that came out, I think, at the beginning of the year or at the very end. So those remarks were made, and we certainly have, at least the administration, has been supporting Israel like no other time before in terms of the military support that's been given. Currently, the U.S., what they call the Foreign Military Financing Program, is essentially covering about, I think it's like one-fifth of Israel's total defense budget. And that's not including all the other things, such as the financing of the Iron Dome project, which, you know, hasn't gotten a lot of press, but it's essentially a missile defense zone. And since we put over $275 million into that under President Obama's watch, and that has stopped approximately 90% of missiles that are sent into the protected sites that it covers in Israel. And so the president has been a strong friend of Israel and will continue to do so, and will provide the support needed as we go along. And if something else develops along the way, he will take action in a prudent and swift and decisive way, as we would expect him to.
John Munger, friend of Israel. I think Mitt Romney and Republicans disagree with that.
Well, I frankly have serious doubts about that. I mean, the message is, it is true that President Obama has been putting money into the Israeli national defense issues. That's not the critical element here. The critical element is that President Obama publicly has pushed away the Israelis, and to the point where he will not meet personally with Benjamin Netanyahu, and on prior occasions has dissed President or Premier Netanyahu. So there's a public image of disengagement with Israel, which has weakened our alliance. I think there's no question in any observer's mind that Israelis feel that they are being left to fend for themselves. Yes, they have the military weaponry that we have provided to them, but they don't feel the U.S. has their back as a country, and that's a major difference. So the big problem is that Netanyahu is trying to meet with the president, trying to get some backing to do what is necessary in Israel. Here's the difference, Bill. Here's the problem. We have intelligence reports. The American intelligence reports indicate that that Americans think that Iran is many months away, 6 months away from developing a weapon. The Israelis' intelligence thinks it's closer than that.
They think it's weeks.
They think it's weeks. And the problem is, if you were the president of Israel, how much would you bet on the accuracy of American intelligence, when we know that intelligence is an imperfect art? Would you bet the nationhood of Israel that we have time to wait, as American intelligence thinks we have time to wait, when Israeli intelligence is saying the opposite?
Vince, do you think we have Israel's back?
We absolutely have Israel's back.
Do you think John is wrong about that?
Absolutely. Is he both wrong about this alleged disengagement? When you look at what is at issue and the military support in terms of financing, the amount of money that we have put into this, $10 billion.
But
it is the issue, because you're helping your let me tell you what the Israeli defense minister Ehud Barak said a few months ago about President Obama. He was asked, is President Obama a friend of Israel? He said, clearly he's a friend of Israel. And the reality is that he even mentioned that the comprehensive package that has been provided by the United States, by President Obama, under his directives, is both, it is wide, it is comprehensive, and he hailed it as unprecedented.
So
the picture John paints is so far from reality.
Well,
now, the issue of what's happening here on the ground, and we can talk about some of the more specifics of that, but that is just such an inaccurate portrayal of
how he has the wrong perception.
Absolutely. And they're trying to spread that because it's an election year.
Here's the problem. Providing military defense to a nation is one thing. Providing a public international image that the United States will back them with our own forces is an entirely different question. And that's where President Obama has been weak. He has been asked for support by Israel. Heck, he's been asked for meetings with Israel, and he won't meet with them. Now, he's also been asked to draw some red lines. It's not very difficult to draw a red line and say, if this event occurs, either in terms of the event or a time period by which Iran has to disavow its intent to develop nuclear weapons, We will back whatever Israel does, and Israel will have to attack. And incidentally, Bill, I have said publicly that I think Israel is being compelled, forced by the president, because of the president's disengagement on this issue and his vagueness on this issue. Israel is being forced to attack Iran
before
the election. And here's why they'll have to do it. Because after the election, the president no longer needs the Jewish vote. And after the election, the president can do whatever he wants, and the Jewish community, AIPAC, can't do anything about it. Before the election, if Israel attacks, the Jewish community will have to force President Obama, will force President Obama to support Israel.
Interesting theory from John Munger.
It's not only an interesting theory, it's a slanderous theory, saying that the president will not protect American interests as well as the interests of its ally. It's one of its strongest ally in that region, Israel, because of a number of votes in an election. Just slanderous. The reality is that's the kind of irresponsible sort of trigger-happy conclusions that the Romney campaign.
I would say this, Vince, if the president will do that, if in fact he is prepared to back Israel, why doesn't he say so as Premier Netanyahu wants him to say it? President Obama.
Because we're not going to be dictated as to how to state our foreign policy by another country. If any other foreign country was telling us how to say things, you would be jumping up in your seat, John.
No, are they reluctant? They're
reluctant
to do the red line.
They're reluctant. Vince. There's a difference of terminology regarding capacity versus preventing them from getting a nuclear weapon. And so they've been talking about this. In fact, John says it's so easy to draw a red line. Well, the irony is Mitt Romney said he was drawing the same red line as President Obama on ABC News on Thursday night. George Stephanopoulos was asking him and said, where do you draw the red line? So it is the same as the administration. He goes, yes, it's the same. So apparently, John here says it's so easy, but Mitt Romney can't even do it himself he's embracing the same red line that President Obama has set in the sand.
Here's what you're saying, Vince. You're saying that you're basically saying what concerns the Israelis, that it's okay for Iran to have the capacity to have nuclear weapons.
That's not what I'm saying.
Well,
that is not what I'm saying.
It sure sounded like it. And if it is not okay for them to have the capacity. And the problem is they're very near to having the capacity now. If you were the president of Israel, where your national interests were at risk, how long would you wait, Bill?
Well,
I wouldn't wait very long.
We're going to take a break right here. 12:17 on the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. When we come back, Richard has a question on the Buckmaster Show live line for Vince Urbago and John Munger. That's coming up next. Stay with us.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than two file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off with John Munger and Vince Rabaga. The Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Family-run and owned since 1985. See Moe for all of your custom-frame mirrors. He'll come out to your home to do all the picture hanging after he's done all the framing, and he will take care of you very well. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We're talking about Iran and Israel and the United States policy to a very serious situation that is developing. Richard, you are up next on the Buckmaster Show. Let's go to Richard on the Buckmaster Show live line.
Bill.
Hi, Richard.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me, Bill?
Yeah, sorry? We can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. You know, I Netanyahu and the Israeli right wing are pushing this. They're really over here trying to sell us on this really aggressively, and I resent that. You know, he did the same thing before we invaded Iraq, and of course, Iraq is a total debacle. What we did to the country of Iraq, what we did to them, is absolutely criminal. And now that ain't good enough. Now he wants us to go in and start, I guess, carpet bomb Iran. You know, I guess we're going to start bombing Tehran. Is that it, Munger?
No, nobody wants to carpet.
You know something?
Do you want an answer, or do you want to just talk?
Yeah.
Do you want an answer?
We've heard their propaganda.
Okay.
We don't want to fight Israel's war.
Okay, thanks, Richard. Go ahead, John Munger.
No, nobody wants to carpet bomb Iraq. What we should have been done, and what got us into this in the first place, is the weakness of the president through failure over the last 4 years to impose devastating sanctions against Iran, which we have not done. We did not support the Green Movement, the street movements in Iran that happened a couple of years ago when people were really trying to overthrow the government. President Obama did nothing about that, gave those people no support whatsoever. We're not
talking. What kind of support would you have wanted, John,
What we should have done is we should have spoken up for those people.
But aside from speaking up,
no,
what
but
else?
That makes
it sounds like you're talking about concrete issues.
That makes a huge difference, Vince. When you speak up and you give the imprimatur of the United States to a sense of democracy and freedom, that gives them hope.
It could also just as equally incite the Shia leaders to do more saber rattling towards the United States. So I'm not quite sure that just speaking up
Vince,
on behalf of that in a country that
Vince,
we already have
sanctions
on.
I don't think that we are going to have any worse saber rattling than we already have. What we should have done is supported a true democracy movement that was there and tried to give them all of the assistance we could, but we let them go and we let them die in the streets. But the most important thing is, we have never imposed, and to this day have never imposed, devastating sanctions against Iran. And we could have stopped them had we imposed those sanctions. We have failed to do it. And that
we
is going to, in turn,
sanctions.
leave us with one choice, and that is that there is going to be Israel is going to go in and bomb. That then the Iranians have made it clear they're going to attack our U.S. bases, and we're going to be in a war, all because of this policy of trying to be nice and to disengage from Iran.
Okay. Look, nobody's trying to be nice to Iran. The reality is we have imposed sanctions.
Very weak
over,
sanctions.
A million barrels a day. Our sanctions are precluding Iran from access to, and which is their major financial resource. Now, as far as providing,
as far as Richard was saying, nobody wants a war. Yeah,
well, here's the reality is that the Romney camp seems to ignore the two wars and the irresponsible punch first, ask questions later, searching for weapons of mass destruction policy of George W. Bush. And the reality is the Romney camp has about 70% of military and foreign policy advisors that worked under George W. Bush.
Oh, we're back
so
to
it has the whole
Bush
same
now.
Vulcan. Well, hey, it's the it's
we're
the,
black,
the facts.
Back to
the facts
Bush.
Are the facts, and
nobody,
he can't ignore it.
Let him finish. So the reality is, even
the Cato Institute earlier, a couple months ago, said that the foreign policy of Romney would essentially be a George W. Bush Jr. update.
That's the
reality of things. Now here's why it's so important and the reason why it's dangerous.
Everything
is that
is blaming
when Mitt Romney has a chance to be presidential, he blows it. For example, getting the facts wrong, verbally attacking our embassy workers for the statement they put out, falsely claiming that it was sympathizing and apologizing.
It was
when it was not, and it was before the attack
US
happened.
Embassy
so
in Egypt.
Yes, the U.S. embassy
okay.
in
let
Libya.
Me
Libya. So
let me finish this, so then he can answer it, John.
So at the time that we are still under attack in our embassies, you have Mitt Romney getting the facts wrong, shooting first, being trigger happy, asking questions later, getting it wrong. It's all over the news.
Well,
it's all over the place.
Did
and they're
he get
still
it wrong,
trying to
John?
Claim it was an apology,
okay. No.
And he's going to say it right now, and everyone knows
the timeline. The timeline was the American embassy in Egypt filed a very apologetic statement about how they condemned these statements, or they condemned this so-called movie, and they apologized. And even the administration, 12 hours later, came back and said that apology was wrong. All Mitt Romney did is come in 2 hours before the administration and say that apology was wrong, and the administration agreed with Mitt Romney later. Now, but this is not – I'm not going to be diverted and deflected. This is not about Mitt Romney. This is about the weak policy that has gotten in this position.
This is
nobody
a political talk show.
Vince,
it is about Romney
Vince,
and the Obama
No, it's about
campaign
it's about
the
policy, the weak policy of disengagement from the Middle East that has left the impression with both Israel and the Middle East that we will not back Israel, which in turn is getting us into a war. It's a policy basically of appeasement and of disengagement that leaves us appearing weak. And when you appear weak, then your enemies do things you don't want them to do. So what's happening? We shouldn't be in a wartime footing, but we are being placed in a wartime footing by the weak policies for the last 4 years of the Obama administration. Now, let me just give you one example.
Okay, real quickly, and then let Vince say.
Well, one of the things that's happened is we have these sanctions that have been very weakly in place. President Obama has given waivers to 20 nations that he has allowed not to enforce the sanctions against these country against Iran. 20 nations have gotten waivers from President Obama.
John, let's let Vince now go ahead.
Look, the reality is if you want to talk about weak, it was Mitt Romney who said, no, it's a bad idea to go after Osama bin Laden, the mastermind behind the 9/11 attacks.
Oh,
he said
hold
that.
On,
that's the fact that what Mitt Romney said. And so if you want to ask who's weak or not, President Obama has been strong. If you want to ask who's better off 4 years ago than they were today, ask Osama bin Laden. Because he's dead, General Motors is alive, and President Obama will continue to be a strong leader for this country. The reality is Mitt Romney can't travel to a foreign country without insulting their leaders or their people. He's shown it time and again on his various visits, and then he's trigger-happy with his facts. Look at the AP headline.
Okay. All right.
Miss Romney misstates case.
Arizona Daily
Egypt.
Star.
From the Associated Press.
Yeah, Associated Press. That's more just talking points. Look, here's the problem.
John, 5 seconds.
Mr. Romney said that he would have done the same attack on bin Laden that Obama did. That's a no-brainer.
John Munger and Vince Cerbago, gentlemen, thank you very much. And they will walk out of here, folks, as buddies. They are friends.
I'll walk out behind you.
The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Check out Moe's. They've got all your framing needs. We'll be back talking about the modern streetcar.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. As Mitt Romney sees it, President Obama's announcement of a new trade enforcement action against China is too little, too late. Mr. Obama announced the action today during a speech in Cincinnati. You can expect to hear more policy details from Mitt Romney in the coming days and weeks. The Republicans' campaign planning to do more to distinguish his ideas from those of President Obama. Afghan officials say their country's laws do not allow Afghan citizens to be held without a court trial. That could cause problems for a U.S. plan to turn over hundreds of Afghan detainees to the Afghan government. On Wall Street, the Dow down about 62 points at 13,532. The Nasdaq is off 15, the S&P 8 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Learn more about Splendido over breakfast. The folks at Splendido would love to treat you to a breakfast this week at the Hilton Tucson East on Thursday at 9:30 in the morning. RSVP and say you heard about this on the Buckmaster Show. Please RSVP at 762-4090, 762-4090, SplendidoTucson.com. Well, on May 16th, 2006, Pima County voters approved the Regional Transportation Authority's $2.1 billion 20-year regional transportation plan and half-cent sales tax to fund that plan. The RTA is the fiscal manager for the RTA plan, which includes roadway, safety, transit, and environmental and economic vitality projects. So the RTA now in its seventh year of implementation, and of course one of the centerpieces of all of that 20-year plan is the modern streetcar project. And we're going to get an update here from Carlos De Leon, RTA Regional Director for Transit Services. Carlos, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you for letting me on the show.
Well, I'm glad you're here because there's so much conflicting information we are hearing, Carlos, about the modern streetcar project. Why don't we begin with, give me an overview of where we are with the project.
Sure. The project continues to be on budget and on time. We have major elements under construction at this point, and we have had items that we started about a year ago that have been completed. As an example, the Cushing Street Bridge, which is the Luis G. Gutierrez Bridge over the Santa Cruz River, was constructed and is complete. And we also had a drainage project that was completed. But the most obvious sign that this we're under construction right now is the rail construction, which is started in April of this year and consists of a couple of things. One, our team goes in and pulls out the old infrastructure, does underground relocation, which is takes the bulk of time, then installs the rail and paves and grades the street back up and reopens the street, and then we come back in and put in the overhead contact system, which is the electrification system for the streetcar to run on. And if you've been around Tucson, you know we've torn up a good portion of the downtown area, and we've made significant progress. We have sections of street reopened with rail installed. For example, on 2nd Street on the U of A campus, we have portions open along 4th Avenue between University Boulevard and 6th Street. And we are in the process of installing rail on Congress Street between 6th Avenue and just west of Stone. So we're making great progress in that front. And we also have, in addition to the construction portion of it, we also have production going on. Production involves the modern streetcar vehicles. We have 8 of those on order with a company called United Streetcar in Clackamas, Oregon, which is just outside of Portland.
And you're just back from a visit up there. So what have you learned? Because there's been all this controversy that the manufacturer of the streetcar cannot deliver the product on time. What did they tell you when you were up there Friday?
Sure. Well, we had a very successful meeting with the manufacturer. We were able to see our vehicles in production. We toured the facility. We also saw the vehicles that are being produced in advance of our vehicles, which is the City of Portland's vehicles. And those vehicles are very important because those are the first of the manufactured vehicles that this company is making. They're sort of the prototypes for the Tucson models. Anything that'll go wrong on those ones will also go wrong on the Tucson. We were happy to see significant progress being made on the Portland vehicles. Specifically, a prototype vehicle was delivered to the city of Portland and is being tested on their tracks in their downtown area on their loop. In addition, the first production unit we got to see running on the test track in the factory, which was a significant milestone. They go after production, they do extensive testing to make sure that the vehicle is fully operational. They do this what's called static testing, which is checking all the electrical components and making sure all the components are working with each other. And then they do dynamic testing, which tests essentially the propulsion systems to make sure they meet the specifications required to have a good quality vehicle. So seeing Portland 1, the first unit, production unit, out on the track running at about 25 miles an hour was very encouraging. In addition to seeing the factory and seeing the vehicles in production, we met with the manufacturers and talked about issues or challenges that they have and seeing what measures they're taking to make sure this our vehicles are delivered on time.
Will they be delivered on time and on budget?
Yes, they will.
And what's the deadline?
The final deadline, our contract date is March 29th. Now, they'll actually be arriving somewhere in mid-February timeline in Tucson. And at that point, we'll be doing what's called integration testing because we have vehicles that must be integrated into the system we're building here locally. So we've got to make sure that what we built here fits with the streetcar. The good thing about it is that there'll be extensive testing in Portland. When the vehicle arrives here, it'll be ready, and we know that vehicle will work. So,
where does this confusion come from that this product wasn't going to be ready?
I think the confusion stems from the fact that originally the date for delivery to the city of Tucson was going to be in October of this year. Subsequent to the contract being let to them, and this is a couple years ago now that the contract's been underway, they built a test track, which they didn't have when the original contract was let. So they couldn't test the vehicle in Portland. They had to test it in Tucson. So the delivery was really based on more testing here in Tucson. After they built their test track, we were able to take advantage of the fact that they have a facility up there, and it's better to test the vehicle up there. They can repair problems that come up at the factory as opposed to doing it here in the field. So we're taking advantage of that. There's shifted the testing to occur in Portland rather than Tucson, which shifts the actual delivery date more toward the February timeline, which actually coincides with the opening of our maintenance facility, which is currently under construction. We started that facility in May.
So it's on budget and on time is what you're saying.
That's correct.
All right. Let's slip your headset on there, Carlos, because I think we have a question. And the caller, Robert, says it is a two-part question. Robert, I'm going to stall here a little second while we put a headset on Carlos. And go ahead. You're with us, Robert.
Hey, Carlos. All right, the streetcars will be late. Be that as it may.
He says they're not going to be late, Carlos
says that.
Let's
just say they're going to be late, okay. Or they have a while to come. Isn't the issue with the consternation with the businesses just to get the roads covered back up and those streetcars can come whenever they need to?
Okay.
Well, we obviously want to minimize our construction impact to our business. And so we are moving as quickly as possible to get the construction done and reopening the roads as quickly as possible. So you're absolutely right. We are concerned about the effect that any of this construction has on any of the RTA projects throughout the region. And we have a business outreach program specifically designed to help the businesses make it through the construction, which is the worst part of this. But certainly we're focused on getting the roads opened again.
And Robert, the second part of your question, how do you drive behind streetcars? Was that right?
I'm not from a streetcar town. I mean, are these things going to be in the traffic lanes, and how do we coexist?
That's a good question. Thanks a lot, Robert.
Sure. Robert, the advice I give is that you drive behind a streetcar like you would a bus. A streetcar operates in the lane of traffic like a bus does, and so when it stops, you want to stop, and obviously it doesn't have the quite the braking capability or maneuverability of a bus, but so you have to be a little more cautious, but you treat it just like a bus.
So getting back to your visit up to the product manufacturer of the cars up in Oregon, they believe that they're going to be able to meet all of the contractual obligations is what you're hearing.
That's absolutely correct. Not only do they believe, but they understand the importance of delivering the vehicles to the city of Tucson.
How will they be delivered, by the way?
They will be on a truck.
Right. A truck.
Yeah. Okay. The importance is not only to our project, but this is a new manufacturer for modern streetcar. It's been 50 years since one has been produced in the United
American
States.
American workers?
American workers. And so it's extremely important, not only for the jobs, but for their company viability. The transit industry is actually quite a small world. And so everybody's watching closely to make sure that the Tucson delivery goes as scheduled, because it will affect their reputation for future orders. If you imagine other cities out there looking at modern streetcar, looking at potentially using this United Streetcar as a producer for future streetcars for them, they want to make sure they get their vehicles delivered on time. So it's very important. The manufacturer completely understands that and is doing making sure they take measures to deliver our vehicles on time and high quality. So we're very confident about their ability to do so.
Carlos De Leon of the RTA, talking about the modern streetcar, just about out of time, but all the track will be down when? What on that timeline?
Our completion date for all track is June 2013.
Okay. So then it will be easy to drive once that's taken care of.
It will, yes. Yeah.
All right. Carlos De Leon, thank you very much for the update on the modern streetcar. And Carlos telling us it's on time and on budget. Thanks, Carlos.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA,
delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show, and we are on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and I want to tell you about some big happenings this weekend over in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. This Saturday and Sunday, this should be a lot of fun. Historic Fort Baird, which is just east of Silver City, will be celebrating its Civil War history with tours and speakers. For more information, go to Fort Baird, and Baird is actually spelled B-A-Y-A-R-D. It kind of looks like Bayard, but it's pronounced Baird.org. Great places to stay in Silver City, including the Spirit Canyon Lodge and Bear Mountain Lodge, Silver City. More information at southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now with the Buckmaster Show series on all of the legislative district candidates that affect us here in Southern Arizona. Our focus this afternoon is the three-way race for 2 seats in the Arizona House of Representatives in District 9. 9 runs from Interstate 10 on the north side of town, east through the Catalina foothills and the Casas Adobes neighborhood into Midtown Tucson and to Sabino Canyon. The two Democrats, Mohar Sarah Sidwa and Victoria Steele, and the one Republican on the ballot is Ethan Orr, who joins us now. Ethan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about how the campaign is going and a little bit about yourself, what you do for a living and what you hope to accomplish in Phoenix.
Well, I'll tell you, the campaign's going really well. One of the biggest things that I'm seeing as I meet with leaders throughout our town is they understand the need to have a Republican and a Democrat representing Tucson. Because as you know, in the state legislature, you need to be part of the majority caucus. Right now, they're starting to look at the budget, and you need someone at that table to fight for Tucson's interest.
And the last couple of budget cycles, the Democrats have complained, and I think justifiably, that they really haven't had a seat at the table.
They haven't, and that's it's an unfortunate reality, but it is reality, and we need to play by it. For example, I'm a huge advocate of the JTED, the Joint Technological Education District, and 2 years, actually in 08, 3 years ago, 4 years ago now, they cut their funding. I have already met with the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House, and a representative of the Governor's Office, and I'm pushing for the restoration of that funding. That's something that I can do as a pro-Tucsonan Republican who can actually move legislation.
Tell me about your business. You work for an organization, a nonprofit called Linkages.
Yes, I do. I've been the executive director of Linkages for 9 years. We were started in Tucson. We're now statewide. We help people with disabilities and veterans and ex-offenders find jobs. Last year, my staff and I helped 713 people find work. Half of them were developmentally disabled, and about a third had a mental illness.
Talking with Ethan Orr, he is the Republican in this race. It's a three-way race for two seats. What do you see, Ethan, as the separating issue between you and your opponents?
Well, I think the biggest thing is experience and the ability to get the job done. Everyone is talking about jobs in this campaign. I've actually been a director of economic development for the city of South Tucson. For the city of Tucson, I got them their empowerment zone, and I administered it so well, bringing the city and the county and the neighborhoods and the businesses together, that the HUD singled us out as the number one site. In fact, Roy Bernardi, the deputy secretary of HUD, and I became very close friends, and he would come down here, and he would be in awe at the unity that our city could display around a project. And as you know, being in Tucson, that's pretty impressive.
Economic development and jobs, the number one issue with every candidate I speak with, and I'm sure that's at the top of your list as well. So how do we put more people to work in this state, in our area?
Well, a lot of it you need to play to your strengths. The first thing is education, our workforce development. We have about 80 to 85% of the jobs are going to be produced, our knowledge-based jobs. That's why I'm an advocate of the JTED. I also look at creating dual enrollment programs so as a high school senior, I can get college credits. You need to look at your tax structure. I was here when SlimFast came, and when they left, the one was the workforce, but then also you had some tax disincentives, and it made it very hard to work with them. We need to work with the people down south, with Sonora. We need to find out where our commonality is in terms of trade and logistics and even in manufacturing, and produce something that I think can compete with China in terms of manufacturing and distribution.
Coming up now on 12:54, Ethan Orr is with us, Republican running in LD number 9. Tell me about this legislative District 9. From a Republican point of view, you have a slight disadvantage, correct?
Yes, I do. But, well, there's more Democrats than Republicans in the district. But frankly, it's an even district in a lot of ways. 65% of the district is north of the Rito River, foothills and Casa Adobes, where there are more Republicans. About 11% is the Flowing Wells area. I went to school at Amphi, and the fact that I get so many people jobs resonates really well in Flowing Wells, so I'll do well there. And the Midtown, that's about 25% of the district. There are two Democrats for every one Republican. I've been walking in that area a lot, and I think they like the fact that I was a council aide. They like that I work for the city. They like that I grew up here. And even Democrats in Midtown want to give me a chance.
The big issue as far as education, people's candidates tell me, of course, jobs, then education. And that leads me to this Proposition 204, which is the Quality Education and Jobs Initiative, which in effect extends the 1 cent sales tax, but this time it would be a dedicated solely to education. Are you in favor of 204?
Well, and I say this, my parents were both teachers for TUSD, and I'm an adjunct. I've been a professor at the U of A for 10 years, so I say this as a classroom teacher. I highly support education. However, I don't think 204 is the best way to do it, because the biggest problem that you have as a member of the legislature is really the House and Senate only control a third of the budget. A third is controlled by the governor, and then a third are designated or mandated funds. And so when you had the budget shortfalls of 2008, what happened is you had to disproportionately, or the impact of the budget disproportionately fell on the one-third that was under the control of the legislature, higher education in particular. So I think if you're going to elect representatives, you make sure they're pro-education, you make sure they're pro-Arizona, and you give them the tools to run the entire budget. And I think 204 takes those tools out of the hands of people who need to be able to work with everything.
So this act would renew the 1 cent sales tax that voters overwhelmingly passed in 2010. So you're saying you personally are no on 204?
I am. And it's not the 1 cent sales tax part. It's the fact that the elected officials can't control the revenue streams, and so it makes governing this state so much more difficult. I think this state, because of all these propositions, is becoming very difficult to govern. And you have to have the flexibility and ability to control your own budget.
You know, you talked about JTED, which is a vocational authority that helps people get back to a vocational education. I think that's so important. We've really lost vocational ed, haven't we?
You know, we have, and it's sad, because I see that is a huge opportunity. Everyone should have an opportunity to a better future. Everyone should have an opportunity to make something of themselves. And I think just students may not be college bound, but they can still make over $100,000 a year as an automotive technician. Plus, what I'm finding, because I've actually met with all the superintendents in my area so that I can understand the educational issues and bring that to the majority caucus, what I'm finding is a lot of JTED students are getting some skills and using that to pay for college.
As far as a budget and having some kind of a rainy day fund, is it a good idea?
It is. One of the things that you need to look at, though, there's about 1,200 different set-aside funds, including the Highway User Revenue Fund, which is how we fix a lot of potholes around here. The first thing I want to do, right now we have a budget of $8.3 billion, expected revenue of $8.6 billion, so finally we're going to have a positive. We need to make sure that the funding streams to all those different set-asides is restored, so that we can fill the potholes, so that the state parks can plan large capital acquisitions. And then also another way they balance the budget is they just didn't pay the schools on time. There's about $300 million a month that the state collects that goes to the school system. I want to make sure the schools are paid in time, and then we start looking at our set-aside.
We've been speaking with Ethan Orr, Republican candidate in the Legislative District Number 9. Where can people get more information about you, Ethan?
At my website, www.ethan4house, and I really appreciate them taking the time to look at me.
Okay, Ethan Orr, thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Bill, thank you. I appreciate the chance.
Good. Bye. Coming up on 12:59 on the Buckmaster Show, want to tell you about Culligan Water. We really love Culligan Water. It's great tasting. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided generously by the people at Culligan, who offer the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. Coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon, another fine local talk show here on KVOI. It is the John C. Scott Show, and John has been around in this community for a long time. We like to call him the Dean of Local Talk Show. Another show, a local show that we suggest that you check out, 6 to 8 in the morning. It's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. It is KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. I am Bill Buckmaster. Thank you for spending a portion of your Monday afternoon with us. We will be back with you at 12:04 tomorrow with the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Have yourself a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.